Chapter 47.
Who is that on the phone? Zelos? Philia asked through a yawn. Her parents had long returned home and gone to bed. Baby, too. She and Val were watching bad movies on the TV.
Yeah, I gotta go now, Phil. I'll call and let you know how it goes,
Val said quietly, as he unwrapped his long legs and arms and stood up. And you're planning on getting Milgazia to take you for a drive at 2 in the morning? Philia smirked.
Yeah?
I'll help. He'll open the door for my face, she insisted, using the couch to get up off the floor. Go on, get your stuff. I'll grab a coat. Philia had left before Val could say anything. He was hoping that he'd not have to resort to blackmail tonight. He was having doubts about his ability to stoop that low anymore. This cause was making him feel all noble and all, but his role seemed downright sleazy. Well, he was just a punk, the son of a low-grade crime lord, possibly the bastard son of the most villainous, immoral woman he knew. It was a task he was well-suited for, right? And if Philia could be of use, then so be it. So, why then was he feeling so dirty?
You ready yet? Philia called from the back door.
Val was still standing in front of the TV.
Yeah.
The gas and go was close. It had that going for it. Zell rolled up to an open gas pump. Gowrie stopped him from getting out.
Let me take care of it. You better get him fixed up, or someone might start to wonder and call the police, huh?
Zell looked back at Zelos. His swollen eye and generally roughed-up condition could rouse suspicion. In fact, they were all dusty and worn, but even though Gowrie's long blonde hair was grimy, as Auntie Aqua's mop, he didn't look like he'd been in a fight.
Sure, Gowrie. Good idea. I could use some water, too. Hey, gang, I'm taking Zelos to the men's room to clean up. You ought to, too. We'll meet in the fast food part, all right?
Just keep your priest's hood over your head and keep your face in the shadows.
Yeah, like I do. Or did. I don't do that so much anymore, do I?
Zell flashed a little smile at his friend. They walked, at times painfully, out of the bathroom, greeting Gowrie on his way.
Hey, all gassed and ready. And here are the keys, Gowrie said softly in passing. Oh, and order me a chocolate shake, extra large with malt, if you would, Zell. Maybe some fries and
whatever else Lena orders.
Gotcha,
Zell added in Lena's style, then smiled and shook his head. They caught up with Lena and Amelia at a couple of tables, placed their orders, and found seats. Gowrie soon joined them, and the food and drinks were spread around before anyone said anything.
I hope the old lady made it out, Gowrie mumbled at last.
Oh, I'm sure she did, Amelia said, full of hope.
Actually, I am too, Zell agreed. She and her sister are wise old women that survive everything. I'm sure she had her own escape route planned, just like she knew we were coming.
I'm glad you said that, Zell Goddess. It makes me feel better.
Amelia smiled a bit, then closed her eyes. Lena looked sideways at Zelos, who had been very quiet.
You know, I don't think anyone could have stood up to Gob any better, she said kindly.
He shrugged his shoulders.
Doesn't matter, though. The contract's still open. We'll meet again soon.
Lena didn't like this disheartened version of Zelos. He needed to talk, and it was going to be up to her to get him going. So was all that stuff true? Was Gov really one of your stepfathers?
One nod for yes will do.
Thanks. Why haven't you ever told us that? Val especially. Say, how does that work? He must have been married to 2 women at once, eh?
Zelos smiled grimly. I was as surprised as you. I didn't know until I saw his eyes and his eyebrows. As I said, he'd changed a lot, appearance-wise.
and I haven't seen him since I was only pretty young.
He glanced up at Zell, who was watching him intently. He figured that Zell had been doing some quick computations and arriving at the same inconclusive conclusions Lena was, plus the potential Val link.
I just kept thinking that they looked like a couple of mating caterpillars. His eyebrows, Lena. And it took my mind off my troubles.
But Zell remained mute. Let him keep his secrets tonight, at least. Martina chose this moment to blunder in, ranting at Zelos.
You! You're one of them! Some evil henchman for the...
Lena slapped a hand over the girl's mouth, so fast it made her head spin.
Shut up! Haven't you done enough damage for one night? Now keep your voice down, or I'll have to silence you forcefully. Got that? One nod for yes. Good. Now sit down.
Martina was shaking with rage. She could barely contain herself long enough to hiss at him,
Syndicate! And you're a priest, too? I suppose with some kind of celibacy rule, right?
Zelos painted on a half smile and answered, Yeah, I'm afraid it's true.
You lied to me! I'll never love anyone again!
Martina wailed and ran out the door crying.
What about Mr. Zangalus? Whispered Amelia, certain she had that couple right.
But Gowrie was just shaking his head.
It looks like that was a real shock to her, huh?
I'll say, cried Amelia.
But look how sad Mr. Zelos is now. That awful Miss Martina. He doesn't have to be part of the syndicate. It's not too late. End your evil ways and become the priest I know you are destined to become.
She stood, arms outstretched, about to break into song.
Even if you ask.
Zelos smiled faintly. Gowrie gently pulled Amelia back to her seat, and said in Zelos' defense,
Come on, it's not like Zelos wanted to be born an evil, despised syndicate dude.
He smiled, knowing that he was right this time. Amelia frowned at him.
Mr. Gowrie, what are you saying? The syndicate is the natural enemy of all those who follow the path of justice and honor, of all who live! The syndicate causes terror and damage for no reason, overthrowing governments, fixing oil prices, and drug running. We can handle this without Mr. Zelos being one of them. It makes him just as horrid as them.
Zelos cringed, then looked beseechingly at her.
Please don't say that. I'm not as bad as all that.
Oh, I know that, Mr. Zelos. You can be a wonderful person full of hope and happiness. You can stop those despondent end-of-life thoughts. I know. Let's sing songs to cheer you up. Let's see. Life is wonderful for those who care.
Lena looked a bit sick, then turned to Zell. That could get to anybody. Zelos' head sank to the table. Gowrie took pity on him and everyone else, and... since he was closest, pushed Amelia back into her seat.
Shh, he's got a headache, Amelia.
Oh, okay, I'll stop singing then. So, Mr. Zelos, tell us what's going on, then. You just let yourself get all beat up by that awful man. You can't possibly be expected to keep taking that kind of punishment. And who is that Hellmaster guy he was yelling about?
Amelia cried out insistently. She wanted answers. Zelos didn't budge. Zell was staring disconsolately out the window and checking his watch. Lena sighed wearily. I don't think he's going to tell us anything more, Amelia. Philia insisted that she preface their visit to Milgazia with a phone call. That was a good idea. The Seafeed clan leader was unhappy to be disturbed in the wee hours of the morning or night. It took some pleading on the young woman's part to get him to agree to speak with them. Val was visibly uncomfortable as he sat in the man's Spartan living room, on the thin, worn couch.
So, what is the problem that couldn't wait until the morning? The sunlit morning,
Milgazia growled. Val cleared his throat.
and looked the man directly in the eyes. I need ya. That is, I'm asking ya to take me to the Katato Mountains. Now. Immediately. And, help Lena find some information that's stored up there. No. It's very important we do this, Mr. Malgazia. Our friends just tried to get it someplace else, and they got attacked by Gov and are trying to outrun him and get this stuff before he kills them. Without that stuff, they can't destroy the Syndicate. That's what we're trying to do. But if Gov stops them, they're on their way now. Zelos called from a cell phone, and there were sirens screaming in the background, and he said things were a mess, Val explained rapidly, desperately trying to convey the importance of the mission. Zelos, the man spat venomously. You had me listening until you mentioned his name. Of course it's a catastrophe with that kid involved. No wonder he's led his closest friends into some disastrous situation. And now you want me to risk my life as well, and turn over the most important data, data that's cost the lives of countless men and women to collect, to that base creature? Val, I told you to stay away from him. This is why. He is no good and will lead you all to your deaths. That is the way of the Syndicate. Corrupt the good, destroy the incorruptible. Val considered the words a moment. It wasn't Zelos they all followed, though. It was Lena. We are doing it for her. Not just for Chaos Kid, or Zelly Boy, or anyone. But corrupt? Zelos was becoming a priest. Silphiel's father believed in him. Amelia's father believed in him enough to lend his dearest daughter to the cause. He was a goofy kid with an ugly past, but a good heart. That he was sure of. Well, he wanted to kill his mother and Gov too, but who wouldn't? You're wrong about Zelos, sir. He's working to free himself from Zelos, and me from Gov, and to return that Wolfpack Island place to you guys. The mayor and the head shrine guy, that doctor dude, the police chief, they all believe in him. But he needs that information. Give it to Lena. Luna's entrusted her with its care and delivery. Val nearly begged. No, even with all that you've said, I cannot release that information to a bunch of unprotected kids, one of which is an avowed Syndicate member. Now go, Val. Call him back and tell him to return to Seirun and safety. Val knew that he couldn't do that. He would not let down his friends like that. He would have to take the risk of losing his future as well to save the world. Maybe you should have a look at this first, before you give me your final decision. Val handed Malgazia a worn envelope from his black leather jacket pocket. Malgazia opened it and withdrew a folded paper. His hand holding the birth certificate trembled. His face paled. Did he give you this? Val nodded. Gods, was it true? Was it even possible? Malgazia handed him back the paper, and without looking him in the eye, picked up the phone. Val couldn't hear the conversation, but he figured this was where the plan backfired. Malgazia would check with the hospital, verify the bogus document, and send him, Val, packing. That's when he noticed that Philia was standing in the room. He hadn't noticed her at all coming into the house. He thought she'd gone home. Great, now she would be witness firsthand to his humiliation about to come. His eyes met hers, and he shook his head. He didn't know what to say to her. Her disappointment in him was plain. Oh, Val, she whispered, and wrapped her arms around his waist. Philia, I'll be leaving the settlement soon. Thanks for everything, and I'm sorry to have dragged you into this mess, he said, folding her, he knew, in his last embrace. He knew she'd never clasp him close to her ever again, in her heart or with her arms. He'd lost her forever. Well, it was a risk he had to take, right? They all followed Zell's eyes to the view. Even in the darkness, the highest point, known as Dragon's Peak, was visible. To get there, they would need a road map of the area, something Zelos didn't have. Zell, time to move on, huh?
Lena prodded him with a finger to wake him up. Zell nodded and rose, fatigue marring his sensitive eyes.
Yeah.
Gowrie stood also and offered to drive for a while.
So, what about Martina? It's late to just dump her in a pit like this, isn't it?
Zell muttered. I vote to leave her, Lena said, giving Amelia a don't you dare disagree with me look.
That won't be necessary,
sniped Martina, returning from using a payphone. I'll find my own way. I have a job in town at my aunt's restaurant. I have to work, unlike little Miss Princess Amelia. Oh, there's my ride now.
Martina left in earnest.
That was easier than I expected.
Zell sighed and pushed open the door. Lena stood by the fork in the road, on the edge of town, staring up at the peak.
We need a guide.
Zell folded his arms. They had been kicked out of the car and told to settle their differences before getting back in. Gowrie left the motor running, using up gas, just so they'd hurry up.
We should just go. How difficult can it be to get up there?
Spoken just like a man, Zell. A stupid, pig-headed man who hates to ask for directions. I'm going to go back to the service station and ask if I have to walk the entire way alone.
Zell stood wide-eyed, rolling her accusation around in his mind. Just like a man. She'd said it like he had a disease or something. Lena swirled around and stomped off into the darkness, and she ran headlong into a kid about her size and landed on her rear end. Gowrie and Amelia got out of the car to see what was going on.
Oh,
Lena moaned, raising her hand to her head.
It's just a little boy, cried Amelia.
Lena noticed that one of the amplifying bracelets was missing. She furiously scrabbled around on the ground looking for it. When Gowrie grabbed the boy,
it's pretty late for a kid to be out. Hey, I know you. You're Joey's friend. Hey, everybody, it's okay. He's my friend's brother. F-something.
Lena's attention was distracted by the bracelet peeking out of the kid's pocket.
Why, the little thief!
Thief? The kid cried out. I just need a ride out of town. I was staying with a cousin, but things didn't work out. I know my way around here good. Maybe if you promise to take me back to Seyrun, I'll help you out. And the name's Phil. Hi, Gowrie.
The car's crowded already, Zell said curtly. He wanted to tough it out alone.
Well, I do have a map, Phil confessed. He jumped a bit as Lena stripped him of his stolen merchandise, while she made a dive at the map as well.
Gimme!
Screamed Lena. But he clearly wanted something in return.
Okay, Amelia, give him some money for a bus out of town. Oh, I don't know, $20 ought to do.
Phil happily accepted the money and waved them on.
Don't you think it was kind of odd, him being right there when we needed him? I mean, it's 3 o'clock in the morning,
Amelia whispered to Zell, who was poring over the map in his hands, using a tiny penlight Amelia had stashed in her purse.
Odd doesn't cover it. Suspicious would, but I'm frankly too tired to care.
Zell sighed and called out to Gowrie.
Take the next right turn, then a hard right up the hill. Get whatever you need. We'll go in 10 minutes.
Was all the tall, handsome man said as he left the room for another. Val lost his balance and stumbled into the bookcase behind him, carrying Philia along and mashing her to his chest.
What had Milgazia just said? We're going?
God, Val, when did you become such a klutz? Or are you trying to make more out of this comforting a friend hug?
She asked, with one eyebrow raised, but didn't really try to free herself.
Oh, sorry about that. I must be tired. So, I'll walk you back to the house, he said shakily,
guiding her to her feet and to the door.
He did keep an arm around her. He knew good karma when he felt it. Martina jumped into the back of the cab and yelled, "Do you know the road to the top of that peak?" The driver shook his head.
"No, ma'am. I can get you to the mountains, but I got no cause to drive them roads in the dark."
"Move it, then," she ordered.
The winding road was treacherous in the dark, and the wisps of fog blinded them when the car sank into the dips. The map was okay, and if they hadn't just happened to pass up one of the crossroads or markers, which would make them hopelessly lost, they were only half an hour from their destination, whatever that was. Amelia and Zelos were asleep. Lena and Zell were nervous wrecks as they helped spot markers and decipher map details for Gowrie in order to prevent an actual car wreck. Lena had the window rolled down and was half hanging out.
"You're over the lane line again," she shouted to Gowrie.
To herself, she worried. "We'd better not be lost."
"This is where I stop," declared the worn cab driver.
"Ooh, I have to get up there tonight," Martina wailed out the open window and shaking her fist at the man.
"What if I said I could guide you?" asked a young-sounding voice outside the vehicle. "I know exactly where to go. I'd be happy to show you. Their car was too crowded," Lena said, "so they left me here, alone."
"That's a terrible thing to do to a little boy. Hop in. I'll drive if you tell me which turns to take," grumbled the driver.
"So, you don't like Lena? Humph, I like you already. I'm Martina."
"Good to meet you. Just call me Phil," he smiled innocently. That always worked well.
"I should tell you right up front, I can't pay you for the help, but I can promise you future royalties from the CD I'm making. With the Slayers, you know,"
Martina shouted with maniacal certainty. She then mumbled under her breath,
"Though I can't for the life of me figure out how we're going to do this up there at this hour."
"This should be it. Last turn coming up. Unless, of course, we're hopelessly lost," Zell said in a low voice to Gowrie, driving beside him. Gowrie slowed as they passed a sign saying, "Vista Point, turn out 100 feet, Valley of the Dragons." Sure enough, there was a turn and a parking lot with viewing telescopes and a placard describing the area. A simple map pointed out the famous Dragon's Peak, looming to their right, and the valley. The dragons, these days, were nesting condors, the largest birds of prey on their continent.
"It says here that in the morning we could see hundreds of birds catching the warm updrafts and soaring over the valley," Amelia made out using her tiny penlight.
"Well, it's too damn dark and misty to see anything. So now what?" groused a tired and cranky Lena to a tired yet patient-looking Zelos. He was thinking how glad he was that they'd thought to stop and feed her first.
"We just stand here in the dark and wait for..."
"Helicopter," Zell said. "I hear one coming from over there. See anything? A light, maybe? Gowrie? Zelos. Could it be Gov? Or Val?"
"Hard to say, little brother. But if it gets closer, we might be able to make out the Seyrun logo. Damn, I have to clean my contacts. Everything's getting blurry. They're not made to be worn this long."
Zelos grumbled and stalked back to the car to change them. When he returned, Lena asked,
"So what is this place, really? What's up here besides birds?"
"Ah, Lena, good question," Zelos smiled. "This is a secret Seafeed clan land grant, which the Syndicate has yet to take away from them. But what with Gov working from Atlas City, Zelos from Seyrun, and Hellmaster from Syrog."
"Hellmaster, that's the guy Gov was so worried about, huh?"
Lena said smugly. She'd just extracted information from Mr. I've Got a Secret, and she was proud of herself.
"Ah, yes, him.
And he accused you of working for him? But you're working for Zelos, right? So what's going on? Lena pressed harder for more answers. Like a starving animal at times, Lena could only nibble at tasty bits for so long. Eventually, she needed an entire meal, a 7-course one with all the extras. Gowrie had been straining to see the helicopter, which Zell claimed to hear. No one else heard it, but they all acknowledged Zell's superior hearing from the past, and so gave credence to his words. Gowrie's vision was like that. His vision was in no way diminished by hours of reading too many books. For that reason, he was the first to spot the white flying spot.
There, it's coming this way. I see a light-colored blob with a smudge on the side. Hey, it's flashing some kind of signal. Write this down, Zell. Let's see. Long, long, short, short.
Gowrie continued reading the tiny blinking light to the others until they could read it as well. Zellos shook his head.
Too bad I was never a Boy Scout and learned Morse code.
But Gowrie was, grinned Lena. Gowrie turned to Zell, who was writing down the rest of what had been said.
Then it just repeats from here on, Zell began. It's Val. It's the tiny shiny wings. I will follow you. Part of that song, Lena.
Gowrie smiled triumphantly. Okay, good job, Gowrie. She grinned in return and clapped him soundly on the back. Zellos nodded.
Lena, power up those amplifiers and call him back.
Zellos stood in the center of the parking lot and did something, because suddenly his staff glowed and a bright red light emanated from the ruby orb. Zell herded the others out of the way while Lena called out in a
big voice.
And Zellos glowed with the flares on his staff. In that way, the helicopter was guided to the empty parking lot without incident. While the machine hovered a few feet off the ground, Zell placed a few calls, notifying Rezzo, the mayor, and McGuinn of the safe arrival of Milgazia. Milgazia leapt from the helicopter to the group standing off to the side, then waved the pilot to take off with the other two passengers. Zellos stepped forward to greet him.
It's been only a week? Seems like a long time, Milgazia.
Yes, but not long enough, Zellos.
Milgazia frowned at the priest-clad kid.
Let Lena see the books. All the evidence that's been collected. Hey, it's Hellmaster's idea, not mine. But it'll be our job to keep it out of his hands, eh?
Zellos smiled placidly.
And if I refuse?
Milgazia asked, concern written across his brow in magic marker.
Something other than negotiations.
Zellos growled menacingly, which startled Amelia so much that Lena had to silence her with a glare. Milgazia looked over at Lena and back to Zellos, then nodded.
Very well.
I mean, he doted on me all the time. I had to change schools to get away from him. He was coming on a bit strong, if you get my meaning.
Martina smirked and winked over at the captivated audience of Phil.
And now he's come back for me, and guess what? He's some priest or something with celibacy vows. And get this, he's a member of that hoodlum outfit, the Vile Syndicate Bunch.
She whispered so loudly that even the driver could hear.
You don't say, the boy said warily, sweat dropping as she snuggled closer to him.
But enough of him. How old did you say you were?
She grinned.
Well, I didn't. Oh, look, we're almost there. Do you see the lights?
Phil pointed out to the driver hastily and readied himself to hop out. Milgazia reluctantly led Lena along a path illuminated by the dim beam of his flashlight.
The entrance to the off-site storage facility is hidden here, through this cave.
I think you have something of value to us, Lena Inverse, shouted a rough voice nearby. Say, Graham!
Zellos held his syndicate staff as he would his karate bow, and stepped onto the path between Gov's general and Lena.
I will fight Sagram. Go, both of you. Hurry, Lena.
Lena nodded and ran to catch up with the head clansmen. The cab pulled up to the entrance to the parking lot.
This is where I stop. That'll be $12, plus tip, lady.
Phil was out. Martina ransacked her purse for the money. This is all I have. Take it! She flung a bill at him and flew out of the cab. He unfolded the bill.
$5. Figures. I'm out of here.
He grumbled and sped off into the darkness, leaving his cheap fare to her own devices. Martina could see very little of what was going on beyond the helicopter, but she did see Lena and some tall, good-looking blonde dash off towards the cave's entrance.
Humph! I'd better see what they're up to,
she muttered to no one in particular, and hurried off to the cave. Zelos was countering the larger man's moves effectively, but he was no fighter. His plan was to keep the goon busy until Lena was done, and then get the hell out of there. That's when he noticed a boy. A short, dark-haired boy out of the corner of his eye.
No, couldn't be. No, not him. Here.
That small distraction gave Sagram the break he needed to call in reinforcements. Before Zell was aware of it, two more of Gov's minions were bearing down on Zell, Amelia, and Gowrie.
Sure is dark in here, Lena said, to cover her rising fear. She hated slugs and other slimy things, though no one but Zell knew that about her. So far. She wanted to keep it that way. But this place oozed slime.
Eek! Something got me!
She cried out, and whacked away the offending object.
Ouch! Lena, that's my hand!
Martina? You idiot! Beyond idiot! What are you doing here? Let go and go back now!
But it's so dark!
Wailed the green-haired girl. Milgazia stopped in his tracks.
It's too late. If she goes back now, she'll get lost and probably fall to her death. For now, you have to stay close or get lost forever.
Too late?
Lena froze in her tracks.
Too late?
Milgazia looked down at the two terrified girls and turned the corners of his mouth upwards some.
Just kidding.
Lena frowned.
Grrr, just get on with it!
Milgazia replied casually.
I can see why Zelos put so much faith in you.
He didn't explain why. Instead, he asked her,
Why do you suppose I'm helping you?
Lena became more relaxed now that they were talking and the cave appeared drier and less slippery. Well, I know you and Zelos aren't friends, but... Milgazia sighed, then said,
Because I'm afraid of him, and his connections, and what they are capable of destroying.
He then told her the story, which Lena remembered from Philia's rant, that day, ages ago, when Zell was sick and Zelos was about to be. Philia had dumped the revelation on them all about how the clan was snookered out of Wolfpack Island, and that it was Zelos' fault. She must have memorized it by rote, because Milgazia told it identically, altering no details. Yeah, I heard it all, but Zelos just learned about it from Philia last month. He was very disturbed about it. Yes, really. He's promised to give it all back to you when this is over, you know. Yeah, I bet you didn't know that about him. He's very sad inside, but goofy and smart. Just a kid, you know. You might actually try talking to him sometime, she said meaningfully. She didn't like being judged by her cover either. Milgazia said nothing. Maybe he was pondering Lena's words, or just trying to recollect where they were headed. Materializing out of the gloom was the bent form of an old woman.
It's the old lady! Shouted Martina.
Lena's heart leapt. She did make it out alive then. Zelgadis and Amelia could debate and win wordplay battles hands down. But this fight was mute and getting physical. Gowrie was a pretty good shot with a rifle, picking off rats at the dump, but he didn't have a rifle.
and these rats were bigger than what he was used to. What they had were two swords, fencing training, and courage. Oh yeah, and a jangly priest's staff. In short, they were mediocre fighters, certainly not killers, with a lot of heart. The three kids were up against trained thugs with weapons of mass destruction, who had orders to hold, but not kill, the kids until the important data was recovered. The standoff was uneasy. Zell and Gowri kept Amelia between them and the overlook fence. If a goon approached too close, Gowri would take a swipe or two until they backed off. Once, Amelia batted one of Sagram's minions hard over the head with the staff.
Yes! It's time we showed them how powerful justice is!
Auntie Aqua, I came here like you told me. I need to collect all the evidence, fast, just so me and my friends can survive out there, Lena cried out. The old woman smiled.
Just what I'd expect you to say. Let's go now.
As they clustered near a filing cabinet lit by a single overhead bare light bulb, Lena pointed and asked, "Is that it?" Milgazia whispered to Lena,
"Yes, go ahead. I'll keep the meddling Martina girl out of the way. There's a single notebook of discs, which hold the evidence against the syndicate going back to DK Aqua before he died. It includes updates by your father, Lawrence, and your sister Luna, and myself."
Lena began stuffing her coat pockets with discs and shook her head. "So tell me, why did Gov turn against the syndicate? Do you know?" Milgazia nodded and offered an explanation.
"Once there were three brothers of wealth. The eldest, DK Aqua, was an ancestor of the shrine caretaker of the same name. The youngest was named Gov, just as his namesake is called today. The middle brother was Shabranigdo. They were unhappy sharing the vast company holdings, and so they fought. In the end, DK Aqua used his superior power to defeat Shabranigdo, divesting him of his fortune and splitting it up amongst his descendants, some of whom you heard of, like the Red Priest, Zelos, and Zelos, and Zelgadus's connections through their parents. DK Aqua then imprisoned Shabranigdo in an undisclosed place. He sent Gov to live with the Seafeet clans, where DK Aqua's influence was strong. The intention was to rob Gov of his evil connections, because he was still young and impressionable. But Gov's twisted mind and crude methods seemed to be reborn over and over, reappearing in his progeny, until his darkened soul was reborn into the low-life, small-time criminal boss you met last night, the man filled with hatred for the Syndicate Consortium. Milgazia hardly finished his sentence before he was interrupted by the man himself.
You protect that girl? She's sent by the Hellmaster. That makes you allied with him.
Milgazia stepped back and glared at the giant man in the dirty trench coat, then answered,
No.
Why do you protect Lena then?
Gov roared in frustration. So she can go on living, Milgazia said simply.
He carefully worded his answer so as to conceal her actual purpose. Gov backed down a bit.
I see then. You give me no choice. We restart the war of brothers.
While the two men talked shop, Auntie Aqua maneuvered Lena and Martina to the exit route. She forced a flashlight into Lena's hands, telling her,
Follow the glow-in-the-dark plastic stars on the footpath. You'll not get lost.
Lena and Martina ran like scared rabbits, found the cave exit, and raced out to find their friends in mortal danger. Martina frantically looked for a safe hiding spot, and, spying the boy Phil behind a rock, fled to his side and hid.
Amelia was crying out, Taste the fists of justice!
While Gowri and Zell simultaneously landed blows to one of the thugs.
Victory!
She cheered. Another goon jumped behind Amelia, and before Lena could shout out a warning, he'd knocked the cheerful girl to the ground.
Oof!
Lena growled under her breath. That was low. I wish Sylphiel was here to help her.
Milgazia saw Amelia take the blow as he exited the cave mouth. He rushed to her side, administering first aid. Zelos, who was still holding off Sagram, heard Amelia's cry and turned to look. That was a big mistake. Sagram knocked the wind out of him, and he fell and rolled out of sight. Sagram advanced on Lena, pulling out his concealed gun. He pistol-whipped her, sending her careening into the rocky cliff. Lena groaned as her knees folded and she slid to the ground. She could still move her hand. She felt out a fist-sized rock, and when he'd closed in on her again, she slammed the rock into his face, knocking him out. Zelos had crawled over to Lena to protect her, but it seemed she had just saved them both. He was unable to thank her before Gov burst onto the scene and pulled the trigger. A bullet passed through Zelos' left shoulder and out the front. Zelos automatically pressed his right hand over the wound to stop the flow of blood. The huge man reached down and yanked Zelos to his knees. Zelos lolled his head towards Lena and croaked, "You did well, Lena." Gov sneered into the boy's pained face. "I'm impressed, even with serious wounds, that ya is still talkative." Zelos forced a smile.
"Although this time, it'll take me a while to recover from what you just did."
"Exactly right. Now accept defeat and tell me the Hellmaster's plans. What is he up to?" Gov roared in his face.
Zelos gasped at the noise and the searing pain.
"They are..."
Gov tightened his grip. "Yes?"
Zelos closed his eyes, took a deep, shuddering breath, and looked toward the boy, hiding with Martina in the distance. He glanced down at his hand and noticed his own blood seeping between his fingers, then quipped,
"A secret."
His purple eyes closed and he lost consciousness. Zell and Gowrie didn't see exactly what had happened, but a feeling of dread washed over them both. Zelos was out of sight, blocked by Gov's huge back against a dark jumble of rocks. They had heard a gunshot, his voice, but now nothing. Gov snarled and dropped the limp form. He turned his deadly gaze onto Lena nearby and strode her way. "Now then, I may not know Hellmaster's plans, but I will stop him." Zell and Gowrie had been transfixed by the surreal play being acted out before them. Gowrie, as if released from a spell, sped towards Lena, knocking a minion out of the way.
"Lena!"
Gowrie screamed, worried to death for her. Gov chuckled humorlessly.
"And I'm impressed by how you all have been able to confound my plans so well up until now. Sorry, but now you must die."
Gowrie stood over Lena, drawing his sword.
"I'm that girl's protector. I can't stand by and let you do that."
"You idiot. You can't fight this guy. Oh well, if we're gonna die, might as well go out protecting Lena, eh? So I'll just make the count two idiots then," Zell thought to himself as he ran to Gowrie's side.
"Me neither. I can't just go along with what you're planning. I have no syndicate ties to protect like Zelos. Just my friends."
Zell snarled in a restrained voice.
"Ridiculous. You risk your lives when you know you can't win?"
Gov spat.
"Shut up,"
Zell cried in a mass of nerves and anger.
"We are fighting for our lives here."
"I see. Just as I am fighting for my life against the Hellmaster's plans. We're not so different, me and you,"
said Gov in an amused tone of voice. Zell quickly sneaked a sideways glance to Lena and said in a low voice,
"Lena, there's no way we can beat this guy, no matter what we say. Our only hope is to get you out of here safely. Hopefully Milgazia can call back that helicopter and get you, Amelia, and Zelos away."
"That's right. Zell and I will buy you enough time to get on board,"
Gowrie agreed, teeth clenched in determination. Zell and Gowrie attacked, swords drawn with all their skill. Gov flung Gowrie against a rock wall as if he were a rag doll.
Next, Zell received similar treatment. Meanwhile, Milgazia's first aide was helping Amelia. Her eyes were open and she was attempting to sit up. Zell clutched his ribcage and wheezed as he stood his ground against the evil man. Gowrie shook the rubble out of his hair and scrambled in place beside his buddy. Gav glared down at them. All good things must come to an end. Amelia pushed Milgazia away, whispering, "Check on Lena and Zelos!" She picked up the largest rock she could manage, silencing her groans, and threw it with all her strength at Gav's head. It connected with a wet...
"Justice will always triumph!" she cried.
He barely registered the offense. He was often considered to be one in a long line of thick-headed Gavs. Instead, he blinked, scattering his eyebrows about for a few seconds, then said, "Listen to me. As long as Lena knowingly aids the Hellmaster's plans, which are the source of upheaval and chaos in the world, then your good friend is a villain as well." Amelia choked. Lena wouldn't do that, would she? No, she doesn't even know what that guy's plans are. Gav used her moment of hesitation to advance on her and Zell, who was nearest to her. Zell dove in front of Amelia, shielding her from the brutal beating aimed at her, taking it himself. He collapsed, bleeding, from open contusions to the face and chest.
"Oh, Zell goddess!"
she cried, falling at his side and raising his head to her lap. She smoothed his wiry hair off his pale, scarred face and bent over, clasping him tightly. She heard Gowrie attack Gav, only to be knocked into the rock pile with a sickening... When she sat up, her petal pink and white top was soaked in Zell's blood. "No matter how just you may consider your cause or yourself, in the face of overwhelming power, you're helpless." Gav laughed pitilessly down at the wounded group.
"I can't believe he did that to us,"
Phileas spat at nobody in particular. Val had worn out his curse-rich vocabulary describing Milgazia, his ancestry, what he could do with his various body parts, and where he was destined to wind up, not to mention descriptive passages about how he could do it. Now Val sat taut with more pent-up aggression than he knew what to do with. But he just had to sit. The pilot adjusted his headphones and ignored the outbursts. He was to circle until there was only enough gas to return, or land again when notified by Milgazia. He just had to sit. Just sit. And sit. So he sat. "What's this?" Gav growled, noticing that his gun was out of ammunition and his pockets were empty. He grumbled and growled about the problem with hired help, then slumped off to the van parked further down the road.
"Looks like we did it," Gowrie groaned as he and Zell used Milgazia's flashlight to wave down the helicopter.
Milgazia was arguing with Amelia and Lena.
"You both must get in. I'll take you to safety."
"No way am I gonna leave my friends in a lurch, Buster!"
Lena yelled, pushing his hand off her shoulder. She remained kneeling by Zelos, adjusting his shirt.
"Besides, Mr. Zelos is really hurt!"
Amelia cried from the rock pile.
He's bleeding like mad! I don't know if there's a pulse, even!"
This time, Val jumped 15 feet out of the hovering helicopter to where Lena, Amelia, and Milgazia were arguing over Zelos.
"There's no time for this," Val growled as he scooped up Zelos and stumbled back to the waiting ride.
Milgazia shook his head and caught up with him, shouting directions.
"I'll hold him. You get in first, and together we'll..."
His voice was cut off by Martina's hysterical screaming.
"Where's the little boy? He's gone!"
She clutched at Amelia and dragged her off to look for Phil. Gowrie had limped over to Lena and wrapped her in a hug.
"You should go."
Zell shouted,
"Too late. Gav's coming back." "Everyone run!" Gowrie shouted. Seeing that Lena was hurting, he simply picked her up and started running. No apologies made. Lena blushed to think he'd automatically sought to protect her in such an intimate grip. Zell caught up to Amelia and Martina and pushed them ahead. "Gov's coming to kill us. Run into the cave." The helicopter took off with its wounded passenger Zelos, Milgazia, Val, and Philia, and disappeared into the darkness. Gov aimed his weapon, preparing to eliminate all witnesses, when a blast from a semi-automatic weapon lit up the dark from atop a large boulder outcropping. Multiple bullets ripped through Gov, reducing his trench coat to shreds and his body to a bloody pulp. Could that be the end? How could such an abrupt, sudden moment end everything? The four fleeing kids froze in their footsteps. "Oh my God," gasped Alina. That kid just blew Gov apart." Zell was glad the body was shrouded in darkness. He felt woozy enough as it was. The kid, called Phil, stood grinning down at them, triumphant at his achievement, accomplished with minimal activity. Then he spoke and sent the kid's rising hopes crashing down. "Nobody recognized me but Zelos. I'm Fabrizio, but you can call me Hellmaster."
What? Another Syndicate world leader? Oh!"
cried Martina, tearing at her hair. Lena mumbled, "And Zelos didn't let on. He didn't warn us." Fabrizio continued to speak to the dying, if not totally dead, Gov. "I couldn't tear the low-life gangster thug out of you, Gov. You know that you never could live up to the demands of true Syndicate leadership, and I doubt you'd swear loyal to me now, which means the only course left to me is to kill you outright." He blasted out the man's brains, splattering the rocks with flesh and blood. Fabrizio turned to Lena, smiling, and told her conversationally, "I let it slip out to Gov's riffraff that I was planning something that involved Lena Inverse." Gowri had released the squirming, fuming Lena, and now she exploded. "So you sent Zelos to point us in the right direction and mess up Gov's plans for you! We were used as bait to trap the traitor Gov!" Now, deep down, she knew that Luna and Zelos, and to some extent Milgazia, had orchestrated their own plan that overlapped with Phil's. But she wasn't about to let on about it to him. She could act the personally insulted role if need be. Hellmaster chuckled at her apparent outrage. "That was one of the reasons. Oh, I forgot you'd figured that out. Especially Lena Inverse, who has handled the treasured DK Aqua files. Who can destroy everything and help the Syndicate achieve its ultimate goal. And for that, we needed you, Lena Inverse. I had hoped that you'd play that final card when you were fighting Gov. But that was a disappointment. I guess you weren't desperate enough." Fabrizio hopped down from his boulder rostrum, ran up to Gowri, and pointed at him. "You'll do!" Five of his henchmen appeared out of the mists, grabbed poor Gowri, and dragged him, kicking and screaming, into a sleek black limousine, which had been parked out of sight. "If you want him back, come to Syrog!" Fabrizio yelled as he climbed into the car and it buzzed off, leaving Zell, Lena, Amelia, and Martina in shocked silence. "Hello?" Silphiel greeted the lanky, dark-haired kid at the door.
"Zangalus," he introduced himself. "Sorry about the hour, but I'm desperate. Looking for Gowri. There wasn't anyone at his house. Did they go on a trip or something?"
"A trip? I don't know. Gowri's gone for the weekend. Maybe most of the week. I don't know about his family, though. I don't know when he'll get back, really, either,"
she answered, voice wavering with worry. Zangalus sank into a chair. "Well, you wouldn't know. There's this crisis about to mess up everything, and I have to get to him. And Zilgadis, too. To rally round."
He looked so low that Silphiel sympathized with him. She knew most of her band was involved in a crisis of their own. What if this was part of it?
"He might call me, though. I'll listen, if you'd like to tell me about your problem."
He sighed and nodded. Yeah, thanks. There's some girls starting a revolution. They call it that, with petitions and all. They want to make the fencing team co-ed. Co-ed! That Utena Amazon and Scary Umi. Do you know what that means? Do you? Sylphiel's eyes narrowed. She was worrying about her dear friends in... Were they still in Atlas City? Zelos seemed to believe it was a life-or-death situation. And here was this idiot moaning about his fencing team going co-ed. She smiled to think what Lena would say to him. She shook her head. No, Zangalus. What does it all mean? They'll kill us! They're really good. The guys will never get to the finals. She frowned. Isn't that good for the team? Doesn't that make the team that much better in the long run? Well, yeah, but I want to be in the finals, he cried. I gotta get that, she said to excuse herself. Sylphiel picked up the receiver from the entry phone. Hello, Lada Residence, Downtown Shrine. Oh, Zell, where are you? How are you? Oh my god, not him! Where? You want me to meet you where? Syrog? Now? Okay, I will. I will! Zangalus!
Sylphiel, are you all right?
No. Do you really want to see Gowri? He's been kidnapped and taken to Syrog. I'm letting my father know I'm going, and I have to collect my... Oh, I already did that. I'll be right back.
A distraught girl flew out of the room, leaving a stunned boy in her wake. Minutes later, she returned with her father, helping her secure her priestess cloak and handing her a healer's bag. The man was speaking to his treasured daughter in a low voice, instructing her, advising her, and emboldening her as best he could.
Oh, father! Gowri! Why Gowri? Oh, I don't think I can drive. Will you?
Of course. I've got the keys right here. Oh, hello.
He noticed the tall boy standing uncomfortably in the room for the first time.
I just filled my tank, and my howling sword is in the trunk. I'd be honored to drive you.
Fine, son. Let's get going, then,
Nels Lotta muttered as he guided the two kids out the door to greet the dawning of the new day.